shall turn to the part of God's word that we read together. In Psalm 81, we shall read at verse 10. Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. This psalm was probably written for to be sung at the time of the Passover. It speaks of the solemn feast day. And Israel is spoken of by using the name Joseph because he was prominent at that time before they entered into slavery, which afterwards was the freedom that they enjoyed. And the Passover, of course, was instituted after the Exodus, after the people left Egypt. Egypt was a foreign land. It was there that the people heard a language that they did not understand. But God delivered them. He saved them from their burdens. He rescued them from their bondage. The people had cried to him in their groaning, and he delivered them. He heard their cries. He saved them from their slavery. He answered them also at Mount Sinai, at the giving of the law, and he tried them. He was testing his people to see whether they would continue to follow them, even in their trials and difficulties. Would they still trust in him to meet all their needs? And God spoke to them. He called them. Verse 8, Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. He is calling to us. He is speaking to his people, calling them to be devoted to him. He is saying in verse 10, or rather verse 9, There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. How can we go astray from the Lord who has bought us to himself, who has done so much for us? How can we go after another God? How can we value the creature above God? God is calling us to himself, and that's why he has saved his people. He has delivered them from their bondage so that they would worship him. And he tells them, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Here is the gospel. God has brought a people from bondage. He has delivered them and brought them into liberty. And he promises to be their God and provide for all their needs. He has delivered them from the greatest bondage, not just Egypt, but the tyranny of Satan, slavery in a spiritual way. And it's only right that God's people love him above all things, above all persons. I am the Lord thy God, and he deserves our allegiance and devotion. He is the redeemer of his people. This is the deliverance from Egypt is a picture of Christ delivering his people from Satan's kingdom, and therefore they are bound to serve him. But that's no enslavement. There's no slavery in that. There's nothing but liberty for those who trust in Christ for salvation. And if God has saved his people from spiritual slavery, will he not also uphold them in the wilderness journey of this world? He certainly will. And all that he requires is that his people believe in him, his people trust in him with all their heart. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Here is a promise that God makes to his people, whom he has delivered from the spiritual bondage of Egypt, delivering them from the world, delivering them from the dominion of sin, delivering them from eternal punishment. He promises to meet their every need. If they will believe in him, he will give them more than they need. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. He will fill them with blessings, both in temporal things and spiritual things, even with the finest of the wheat, yes, and the bread of life. He will give them all that they need for time and eternity. And this is a promise that everyone is invited to embrace. Everyone is called upon to come to the Lord, open their mouth wide, that is, open their hearts to receive the blessings of salvation. Jesus is calling, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. So just as he's calling us to open the door and he will come in, he's calling us to open our mouth and he will fill us with good things. Yes, we are invited to receive and make use of this promise by trusting in Christ, who is freely offered to us. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. The Lord helping us, we will consider first this condition, we might say this command. Open thy mouth wide. This is the condition of receiving the promise. He will fill it. If our mouths are closed, he will not fill us. If our mouths are open wide, he will fill us. So the condition of receiving the promise, the condition is open thy mouth wide. And secondly, the promise. I will fill it. Open thy mouth wide. That's the condition. And the promise is, and I will fill it. And in the third place, we will consider a few thoughts by way of application, the application both to the converted and the unconverted. So first the condition, and secondly the promise, and thirdly the application. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. The condition, the promise, and the application. Open thy mouth wide. Here is the condition. This is the duty of all of God's people. In fact, it's the duty of everyone who hears the gospel. Everyone in the church hearing the word of God preached, open thy mouth wide. That's God's command. Open thy mouth wide. It's the condition of the promise, I will fill it. And what is this describing but faith? And we know faith is the gift of God, but we must learn about it. We need to know what faith is. We must seek to exercise it, and we ask the Lord to work that faith in us while we endeavor to exercise faith. So here is faith. It is trusting in God to provide for us, believing in God to meet our needs. It is the condition of God giving us what we need. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. One reason for this condition is that God gives the blessing to those who desire it. God gives the blessing to those who appreciate it and want it. Why would God give a blessing to those who don't want it? Why would he give his wonderful good things to those who would rather enjoy the world? And so when God promises spiritual food, the bread of life, he gives it to those who trust in him for it. What is spiritual food for but for the hungry soul? If we don't have a mouth or an appetite for truth and spiritual things, then we cannot receive God's provision. The promise is made to the mouth that is wide open. God makes a promise on the condition of faith, believing in his power and his ability to give it, believing in him to provide for us. So the mouth, the open mouth, stands for this readiness to receive the blessing. Particularly, it stands for the need, the desire, the receiving of it, and the readiness to receive it. And you think about the need, well, if there's a mouth that's open wide to receive the food, it must be because there's an appetite. It must be because the stomach is empty and needs the food that the mouth is so ready to receive. And so Christ comes into our hearts by faith. Faith is receiving and resting on Christ, which includes a desire for him. And a desire for Christ because there is a felt need of Christ. Well, do we feel our need of the Savior? Is there a sense of sin that makes us desire salvation from sin? And notice it's not just a desire to escape hell. It's not just a desire to be saved from punishment. There's a need of Christ, a felt need of Christ, and a desire for Christ to save one from sin itself. We need to be saved from our sins. Do we feel the need to be saved from sin itself? Yes, has the wrath of God become real to us? Is there a sense of its reality as never before that drives us to seek salvation? And are we praying earnestly for both deliverance from the wrath to come that is future and the sin in our hearts that we have at present? So if there is a felt need of salvation, a true felt need of salvation, then there will be some appreciation of it. Desire for that which we truly believe will meet our need. This sense of need brings us to the one who can meet our need. This is the open mouth, ready to receive salvation. It's a desire for that filling that only God can give, to meet the need just as it is. And that's a need of salvation from the punishment of sin and the presence of sin. Salvation. That includes all the blessings of it, justification, adoption, and sanctification. Do we see our need and do we desire sanctification, deliverance from sin, purifying our hearts so that we are enabled to live obediently to the glory of God? This is what the open mouth is describing. An open mouth is ready to receive the provision. It's just about to take it in and swallow it. The open mouth is ready. And this is a readiness that we need. This is a readiness that the open mouth is describing. You might imagine a child who was hungry and yet was foolish enough to keep his or her mouth closed and would not open the mouth to receive the food. And so there might be a hunger, supposedly, but there's a lack of readiness. Well, we need that readiness to receive the blessing of salvation. So that's a question for us. Do we know anything, first of all, about an open mouth, the mouth of faith, ready to receive Christ and the blessings of salvation? Faith is the instrument of receiving Christ and life and salvation by him. Do we see our need of Christ? Do we desire him? Are we ready to receive him? Is there any earnestness in seeking him? Earnestness of desire in Christ, for Christ himself, for Christ and the blessings of salvation. Well, this is what we need. This is the earnestness that is depicted by and a mouth open wide, not just a mouth open, but a mouth opened wide to receive the filling of provision that God is able to give. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. So it's this earnestness, this intensity of need, desire, and readiness to receive God's salvation and the blessings of it and all the blessings that we need. It's an exercise of soul that is described by this picture or symbol. Open thy mouth wide, the mouth open wide. There was a dentist, a family dentist, that would constantly tell his patients or the people that came to have dental work done, and he couldn't get much work done when their mouths were half open. So he was known to be saying, wide, wide. You have to open your mouth wide so he can do his work. God is telling us, wide, wide. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And so the word in the original is literally, widen your mouth. Not just open the mouth wide, but literally, widen your mouth, and I will fill it. Widen it. Expand the mouth of faith. Expand the desires. Expand the readiness, the earnestness. This is a readiness and desire and need that is felt more than ever. It's when the need and the desire and the readiness to receive is intensified. The mouth is open wide to receive the blessings that God is able to give. So it's a greater sense of need. A greater sense of need first. We should study our spiritual wants. What do we need? Not just go around feeling it, but appreciate it, identify it. Fully appreciate what our necessities are. Recognize clearly our own innate insufficiency, our natural inability, our inability to meet our needs ourselves. We need to see our sins and have a deeper sense of sin, not to overwhelm us, not to hinder us in any way, but to stir us up to seek the Savior of sinners. A deeper sense of sin. Yes, the punishment of it, but in this context, it's usually the power of it that's the greatest worry and burden, especially for those who are saved already, those who are already trusting in Christ. It's the power of sin. What is it that hinders us? It's not the sense of sin. What hinders us is the sin itself. We should appreciate the fact of sin, the abhorrent nature of sin. And it's sin and unbelief that is our greatest problem and obstacle to obtaining what we truly need and what we desire for God's people. It's sin that hinders us. So we need to recognize that and feel our need of the blessing of salvation from sin, the forgiveness of sins, and sanctification, purifying us by the Spirit from sin. Rabbi Duncan said, two things make prayer stinted. We are hindered in prayer by two things. And the first one is little need. Little need. A small sense, a very weak sense of what we truly need. And also little hope of supply. When there's little need and little hope, there's going to be little prayer. We're not going to pray much if we're not feeling our need much. We're not going to desire much if we're not feeling our need much. We're not going to be earnest in prayer if we're not feeling our need very much. We need a deeper sense of need. That's how we begin to open our mouth wider, because we feel the need of those blessings. And then in the second point or second place is a stronger desire. We're not moving on to the second head, but the second way to have our mouth opened wider, and that is to have a stronger desire than before, which springs from a deeper felt need. So we should cherish our desires. It's a good thing to have strong desire for the best things. It's the very opposite, of course, of some false religions, particularly Buddhism. The aim of that false religion is to extinguish all desire. Don't desire anything. God is not commanding us to extinguish our desires, but have all our desires truly met in Christ himself. So we should have stronger desire. Why this coldness? Why this deadness? We're not going to receive much while we're not desiring much. So let us pray that our desires would be intensified and long for God's salvation, long for sanctification. Then we might add, thirdly, to what we've said already, in that there should be freedom in speaking. The open mouth is not, in this context, a symbol of speaking. Open it and speaking rapidly and with many words, but we might think of the open mouth in that, but at least by illustration, that adding to the need and desire, there should be boldness in speaking to God, describing our wants and needs. Perhaps you complain that you cannot pray. God says, open your mouth, pray. He will fill you with words. Begin to pray. You might get on your knees as cold and dead feeling as ever, but soon you will rise up feeling livelier than ever. Only pray and speak, and he will fill you with words. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Like Job, who said, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Fill your mouth with petitions to God, and he will fill your mouth with good things by way of answer. Fourthly, open thy mouth wide by asking not for little things, but for great things. Yes, we should ask for little things. We're not saying only focus on the big things, only make big things a matter of prayer. We can pray about small things. Some of us, that's our difficulty. We have the great things in mind mostly, and we neglect to pray that God would help us meet our deadlines, or he would help us provide for little needs in different circumstances with children and whatever it may be, at work and so on. But while we pray for those small things every day, every moment, we're to pray for great things. Open thy mouth wide and bring great and large petitions to the Lord. Again, we have not because we ask not. We might be praying that the Lord would bless a sermon to one or two. And we might be content that just a couple are have been fed. We should desire the whole congregation to benefit from the preaching. I remember hearing an anecdote about a father in family prayer praying, Lord, that just one child would be converted in his home. And after the prayer, someone asked him, which one? Which one are you going to single out? No, pray that they would all be converted, that all the children would be saved. Don't limit your prayers. Don't limit God. As Spurgeon said that with men, when we speak to men, we ask for little and we expect even less. But with God, we pray for much and we expect even more. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. So ask for great things, and strengthen those desires, and enlarge those petitions with a mouth speaking freely, a heart enlarged, a mouth enlarged. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Fill your mouth with arguments. Fill your mouth with large petitions. even as we are commanded, especially the watchmen, the servants of the Lord, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. That's what we're asking, that God would not just make Jerusalem a bit glorious here in that location, but throughout the whole earth, and that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord would fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. So pray and give him no rest. He should always be hearing from us, so to speak. Always hearing from us in prayer that he would do the great things that he has promised. And fifthly, in regard to what we've already said about earnest desires, those desires should be all the more earnest. Having a sense of expectation, ready to receive the blessing, expecting God to give the blessing. Open thy mouth wide by hungering and thirsting for the blessings of salvation. Lift up your voice, even as people would be searching for silver and gold. They're determined to get it. They're working hard to chisel it out, to take it home with them. So we should likewise seek the blessings of salvation in that way. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Then your mouth will be filled with the blessings that you so earnestly crave. When your desires are intensified, when that readiness is stronger and more expectant, then you can expect indeed God to fill you, not with just a few things, but with many things, with great things, the wonderful things he has promised, all the numerous benefits of salvation that he has already blessed his people with, and he will bless them still. So then, we are to pray without ceasing. We are to have our earnestness turned into watching. As those who are waiting for the sunrise, they know it's coming. They're not going to say, well, I'm not sure if the sun is going to rise or not today. They know it's rising. They know the sun will rise. And we know that God will fulfill his promises. We know that Christ, who is the Son of Righteousness, will arise with healing in his wings. He will come. So we're to expect and earnestly, eagerly expect he will come and he will fill us with the good things of his gospel. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Yes, we need the Holy Spirit to work in us these desires, to deepen our sense of need, to strengthen that earnestness in prayer. Well, let us pray for that. Let us open our mouth wide and expect the Holy Spirit to strengthen our desires. We're considering the condition. We need to know what it is. We need to know what opening the mouth wide is. Pray for that gift of faith. Pray for stronger faith. Go to the Savior and say, Lord, increase our faith. He can increase it. He's the hearer of prayer. Go to him for that. Go to him for faith. Go to him for the sense of need. Go to him for the desire. Go to him for a stronger desire and more earnest prayer and higher expectation, to cherish a sense of the goodness of God and what he is able to do for poor, weak worms like ourselves. And that is when we will receive the blessing, when there is an enlarged and expectant desire, when the readiness is turning into watching, alertness. We're looking for the sun to rise. We're looking for the blessings to be dispensed. We're waiting upon the Lord with expectation. And to increase that expectation, let us get a full view of the promise. Yes, we should meditate upon the promise itself. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. That's when the desire increases, when we get a clear view of God's grace and power to fulfill his promise. That's what we consider in the second place, the promise. I will fill it. Who is the one who fulfills this promise and fills the mouths and hearts of believers? I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord. This is the person who promises is Jehovah, the self-existent, unchangeable, and eternal God who fulfills his word and who has purpose to give blessings to his people. He is the self-existent Jehovah, I am, who has being in himself and has the power to give being to his promises so as to fulfill them. Yes, his purpose and his promises are independent of the wishes and activities of others. He is from within determined. He will do what he has promised because he has promised to do it, and he will do it. He has purposed it of his own sovereign pleasure. Here is the sovereignty of God. He will do what he has purposed and promised. And from one point of view, the promises are unconditional, because even this condition of opening the mouth wide so as to have it filled, that condition is a promise itself. God gives the faith. He has promised to give faith. Oh, you say, but who is it that gives that promise to unconditionally? Those who receive it. Every one of those who are God's people, they have been given that faith unconditionally. He has determined to give it, and he fulfills his own purpose. So from that point of view, all the promises of God in him that is in Christ are yea and amen. They will all be fulfilled, and in a sense, unconditionally. But when it comes to this particular promise, we know that we will be filled if we believe. But then we can take it a step back further and say, Lord, thou hast promised to enable sinners to believe, and plead that promise in prayer. But to increase the desire, and even to work faith, we need to lay hold of the promise. We need to hear the promise. We need to understand the promise and see it clearly, view it clearly, understand it clearly. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing. You're not going to have faith if you don't if there's nothing to exercise faith in. Faith needs an object. Faith needs a promise to lay hold of, and that's what we're focused on now. I will fill it. So faith should take a clear view of God's mighty power and his grace and ability to fulfill this promise. I will fill it. He is able. And we should think about all the instances of God's omnipotence displayed. The context is the Lord bringing his people out of Egypt. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide. If God has done the greater thing in saving his people from cruel bondage, bringing them through the Red Sea onto dry land and seeing their enemies swallowed up by the sea and drowned and destroyed, will he not do the lesser thing, something that is less wonderful, and that is to simply preserve them in the wilderness? He has done the greater, the amazing deliverance from Egypt. He will do what in one way is smaller, and that is to preserve his people and sustain them as they journey through the desert. Yes, he did that. He saved his people from Egyptian bondage. He brought them through the sea. He saved them from Amalek and all their enemies. And he provided for them the manna in the desert. He provided the quails for them. They desired flesh, and he gave it to them so that their taste and their appetite could be met. He did so much for the people. That was to sustain their faith, to increase their faith. And this is what believers are to lay hold of, the fact that God is able and he has done amazing things for his people. And so we live in the New Testament era, and we have many more instances recorded of what God has done for sinners, what Christ has done for sinners, in that when he came into the world, he performed many miracles, healing the deaf and the blind, curing the lepers, and even feeding 5,000 people at one time with just a few loaves of bread. The loaves were multiplied, and the people were fed. Such a vast multitude as that. What amazing things God has done through Christ his Son. And we have even the resurrection of Christ to establish our faith, a firm ground to rest upon. That's the point. Here is what faith relies on, the power of God that is revealed in the Word and what he has promised to do. You see, the promise and the power are connected. God promised Abraham a son, a child even in his old age. And Abraham was 100 years old. His wife was nearly that age. That was beyond the time that women would have children. And yet, Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. God had promised it. That was clear. But Abraham also connected the power with the promise. And so Abraham was strong in faith. There is his earnest desire and his expecting God to do it. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. God had promised it. His word was clear. But God is also omnipotent, and he is able to fulfill his word. Abraham joined the power and the promise together, and therefore Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God. He didn't waver. He knew the sun was going to rise. He knew a child was going to be born. He didn't stagger at the promise of God. What God had promised, Abraham knew he was able to perform. And so it was. Abraham gave glory to God. God fulfilled his promise. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fulfill it. I will fill it. It is for faith to believe the word of God, to take God's word as true. God has said, I will do it. Faith says, be it unto me according to thy word. God has said it, and I will trust in him to fulfill it, because he will fulfill it to all those who trust him. It's as simple as that. God has said it, the promises are yea, and we put our amen to it. Amen. So be it to me. Yes, and God is glorified in it, glorified by filling us with the good things of the gospel, and that's a fact that we should plead in prayer as well. That his mercy is magnified. God is seen to be great in the fact that he is so willing to do good things for poor, unworthy sinners like us. Plead the fact that he causes the sun to rise upon the evil and the good. He sends the rain not just upon the righteous, but upon the wicked. In other words, on the unworthy. The rain that's coming down and causing the grass to grow and the fields to flourish, that's a gift of God. Do we think about that? And the gifts of God and the goodness of God should lead us to himself in repentance. And when God meets our higher needs, spiritual needs, and fills our thirsty souls with his grace and love, he is glorified in that. God will be more glorified by filling me up with his grace than for me to go languid all the time and groaning and saying, I can hardly even pray or praise God. Shall the dust praise thee, says David. God is more glorified when he fills us with grace and we're satisfied in our souls and our mouths are open, not just in prayer, but in praise. Honoring him when he provides for our needs. Yes, God's grace is magnified in that. So come to him with your mouth open for him to fill you with the cup of salvation. He's calling you. He's calling you. Just as you might, if you have a child, be calling your child, I'm going to give you something. Hold out your hand. You've all seen it, how the child has his hand half open. Open your hand. I want to put something in it. You have more to give. Hold out both hands. Put them together. Open them wide. So come to the Lord with an open hand. Yes, an empty hand. That's what faith is, the empty hand that receives Christ. Hold out both hands, your mouth open wide, that he will put in the blessings of salvation and adoption and sanctification and peace and joy and comforts, because he's the God of all comfort. Real comfort comes from him. Real encouragement comes from his word and promise, and he is able to fulfill those promises. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Well, that brings us in the third place to the application. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. First to the converted. You are poor and needy. The Lord Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You say, I am so poor, I am like a pond that has been all dried up, and at first there's nothing but mud at the bottom. Then the sun bakes the mud, it becomes hard, and the sun keeps baking the mud, and now there's cracks, and then the mud starts peeling up. You can't be drier than that. That's exactly how you feel sometimes. But think about that baked ground. When the rain comes, it's almost as if the water disappears in a second, because it's all the more ready to soak in all that moisture and drops of rain from above, while other pieces of land have maybe already saturated with water, and then it can't contain it. But you are ready, because you're like that parched ground, so dry, you're ready to soak in the moisture of the grace of the Holy Spirit. So don't be discouraged when you feel like parched land, a waste howling wilderness. That's when God's grace is able to meet your need and overwhelm you with surprise of what he is able to do for you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Ah, you are poor and needy, but the Lord thinketh upon you. His promises are just for you, exactly suited to your condition. He is able to satisfy our soul in drought, to make our hearts like a well-watered garden, flourishing with the graces of the Holy Spirit. Pray then that the Beloved would come into your garden. Yes, it doesn't look like much of a garden right now. But if you're his, your soul belongs to him, as a garden of his grace. He plants, he waters, he reaps. Look to him for that. Look to him with expectation that he would fill you with the grace that will never end. The water that I shall give him, Jesus said, shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Ask, and ye shall receive. The Father knoweth what we have need of, even in temporal things. We shouldn't be feeling guilty when we ask for our needs in prayer. The Savior says, your Father knows that you need it. We shouldn't feel guilty as if we're doing something wrong when we bring all our petitions to the Lord. No, it is a sin not to pray and ask the Lord for what we need and bring all our petitions to him for great things. That's when we should feel guilty for our lack of asking. We should be praying earnestly and praying daily, give us this day our daily bread. He promises to fill us with the finest of the wheat. Just as he gave Israel the manna, the bread of heaven, as it were, the Lord Jesus promises to give the bread of life and to fill his people. Just as Mary said, he hath sent the rich empty away, but he filleth the hungry with good things. This is what God does. Those who are full of themselves and they're relying upon their wealth and their success in the world and they're leaning upon human wisdom, God is going to send them away. Jesus is not going to meet their needs. But those who are empty, spiritually empty primarily, and those who go to him for their every need, go to him for financial help, go to him for physical well-being, that is medically, physically, spiritually, as well as temporally, all their needs, yes, the Lord is able and willing to meet all their needs. The point is, we're to rely upon him for all these things, just as the children of Israel, instead of murmuring and complaining, they're to look expectantly to God to meet their needs, to provide food for their hunger and strength for their weakness, shoes on their feet, clothing on their bodies, all that they need so that they will not run dry, they will not be empty. He will sustain them in the wilderness, and that is what God is promising to you and me, to sustain us in the wilderness of this world so that we are to lean on the Beloved going forward, trusting in him to provide our temporal and spiritual needs. So let there be longings and yearnings in our souls. Cherish those desires. Pray that those desires would be intensified. We have so little grace in exercise because we have so little desire for it. If we were yearning for more grace, we're complaining daily, oh, so little fruit, I'm so weak. Oh, Lord, give grace and more grace. If we yearn for that, perhaps we would have more of it. Of course, we should be thankful that the yearning for grace is grace. And we should be encouraged to expect grace because the Lord will provide according to our desire. But again, we're stressing this point. We get so little because we ask for so little. As I think someone put it, it's not God's unwillingness, but our narrowness that we don't have more from him. It's not because he's unwilling. It's because we're not willing. We're not hungering and thirsting and desiring. We're so narrow in our desires. If we desired more, we would have more. Again, spiritual desires is mainly what we're talking about. We need to, as it were, pray with the arrows of prayer flying towards heaven, one arrow after another. Remember, one king came to Elisha when he was sick, and he was worried that Elisha was going to die. Elisha told him to take his bow and arrows. So the king took unto him bow and arrows, and Elisha told him, put thine hand upon the bow, and he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. So this was a prophetic symbol, a power. It was a symbol of power being transferred, as it were, as I understand it, to the king. Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands, and he said, open the window, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. How many arrows did he shoot? Well, I think I was told that there were 5 or 6 arrows in the quiver in those days. Well, what does this king do? Elisha said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians till thou have consumed them." And he said, "Take the arrows," and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, Elisha told him, "Smite upon the ground." And he smote how many times? Thrice, three times. Some arrows were still left in the quiver. He stopped after three times, and the man of God was wroth with him. Elisha was angry. "Why did you stop? Thou shouldest have smitten five or six times." In other words, all the arrows in the quiver. "Five or six times, then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. They'll be wiped out, whereas thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." You won't succeed in totally conquering them. If you stop praying, or your desires are less than they were before, how can you expect the full blessing? Don't stop praying. Don't stop sending up the arrows of prayer to the Lord. Pray night and day. With earnest prayer, shoot the arrows of prayer again and again till the blessing is enjoyed. So we need those stronger and greater desires, stronger faith, greater expectation. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And remember, in the meantime, that though you have not yet enjoyed the full blessing that you so greatly desire, yet the delay is not a denial. Why does God give us promises? If we enjoy the blessing immediately, as soon as we prayed the first time, we wouldn't need to pray anymore. He gives us promises to give us hope and give us expectancy of that promise being fulfilled when he gives it. In his time, he is sovereign. So the delay is not a denial. It's simply, as it were, stretching out the sack to put in more. The mouth is being opened wider and wider and wider. And when it's fully wide, then God will give the blessing. So don't rest till the desire is stronger and the blessing is received. Pant after the promise. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, sanctification, the destruction of sin in you. Yes, pray for greater sanctification and greater usefulness in the kingdom of God. Ask, and you shall receive. If we ask according to his will, it will be granted to us. The desire of the righteous shall be granted. Well, now for the unconverted. You are to open your mouth wide too. You say, "I don't have a mouth because I don't have faith. And how can I believe and receive when I'm not born again?" God is still commanding you to open your mouth wide. Just as Jesus is saying, "Open the door." You have a door to your heart. You have a mouth in one sense. Yes, you have a literal mouth. You have a soul. You have a door to your heart. My friends, the problem is the door is shut. The problem is your mouth is closed. Now, what a shameful thing to shut out the Savior. What a shameful thing to sit there in unbelief. I can't believe. Be ashamed of it. Weep over it. The Spirit convinces. Oh, that you would be convinced at last. I've tried to convince you. We need the Spirit to convince you that it is sin to not believe. He says, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." God says, "Make you a new heart." No, friend, you're not excused by your inability. That doesn't excuse you one bit. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you will be judged on the judgment day, cursed and sent into everlasting destruction for not believing. I cannot make it plainer. For refusing to believe in Jesus, you will be damned to all eternity in hell. May that drive you to seek salvation. And cry to him, "Lord, I would believe. I'm going to try to come. I must come. Shame on me for not coming yet. Oh, the guilt of this unbelief. evil heart of unbelief. And God can meet you in your need just as it is. He says, ask and ye shall receive. You say, but isn't that for those who ask sincerely? If we mean what we ask, we will most certainly have it, yes. You say, I can't be sincere. Not of yourself, but he can give you that sincerity. You say, but I can't even sincerely desire to be sincere of myself. No, God meets you there. He gives you the desire. You say, but I am destroyed. Yes, it's your sin that destroyed you, but God can meet you there. He says, I am thy help. I am so low that I cannot even cry as I should. I don't even know how to cry. I don't know how to pray. God can help you. He gives you a voice. You say, but I'm at rock bottom. I ask you, who made the rock? You're at the rock bottom. Who made that? Who made you? You will never be able to get beyond the fact that God is equal to your need, whatever it could possibly be. As low as you go, God's grace meets you there, and even lower. He's your hope. When you are at rock bottom, yes, when you're at an end of yourself, when you're at the sea bottom, dead in sin, God raises you up in life. He raises you up to himself in eternal salvation. What more do you require? I desire to be happy. God can make you happy. Open your mouth wide, and he will fill it. And if that doesn't satisfy you, he will give you more. As Nathan told the king, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Yes, he will give you all that you need for time in this world and eternity in the next. It's all bound up with him in whom the promises are yea. And amen. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, thou hast revealed thy word to us, spoken to us in thy truth. Oh, that we would hear it. The truth would make us free. It would be Christ himself opening our eyes, opening our mouths, opening our hearts. Oh, that we would not make void that promise that he will do it, that we would not invalidate the promise by unbelief. Oh, what an evil that is. But rather, we would count the word as faithful and true. We would put our amen upon thy yea, and we would receive Christ and life and salvation by him. Lord, destroy unbelief. Work in us and draw our hearts that we would close with Christ, with an open mouth, taking Christ for our souls. As one said to another, take it, it's for sinners. Pardon all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.